To the Court of Appeals. Our first case this morning is A22-1199, Law Enforcement Labor Services versus the City of St. Cloud et al. As all parties are aware, the appellant will have 15 minutes for their argument in chief, respondent will have 15 minutes, and then finally the appellant will have the last word for 5 minutes. So whenever you're ready, just approach the podium, adjust the microphone to your level, and tell us who you are in a loud, clear voice, please.
May it please the court, counsel, Mark Schneider, S-C-H-N-E-I-D-E-R, on behalf of Relator, L-E-L-S, Law Enforcement Labor Services. To my right is Kim Sobiak, also here on behalf of L-E-L-S. Public employees have the right to form and join unions and choose an exclusive representative. That's not my argument. That's the law in the state of Minnesota. Under PELRA 1798.01c, and also under the Constitution in the state of Minnesota.
Excuse me, Mr. Schneider. I would ask the marshal to start the time clock. Go right ahead, sir.
I think it's important to set out somewhat of a timeline here, Your Honors. On November 10th of 2020, BMS, Bureau of Mediation Services, issued a certification of exclusive representation order assigning or appointing LELS as the exclusive representative for the subject bargaining unit. On July 12th of 2022, BMS issued its corrected order indicating that it was an improper affiliation for LELS to represent the support services unit in the city of St. Cloud. One day prior
the to support the services supervisor unit.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Before you continue, I mean, are these people sergeants? I mean, these are the people who sort of work and supervise the 911? I mean, what do these people do, and what do they supervise?
And that's a good question, because I know that evidence is not in the record, but there are four employees within this bargaining unit. They are supervisors of the community service officers and also records clerks and technicians.
Thank you.
Can I follow up, Mr. Schneider?
Yes, sir.
Respondent points out, and it's not apparently it's undisputed, that when the petition for certification was submitted, that it included the description supervisors in it. What relevance, or if not relevant, why not, for our review, that your client identified them as supervisors?
Your Honor, I don't think it's relevant to the review here, but I will answer that. And you'll note in Relators, our appendix at pages 11 through 13, which references the BMS's response to our request for reconsideration. The BMS admitted that it did not conduct even an investigation back in November 2020 as to the supervisory status of those employees. BMS rules require it, even in the event of a stipulation, and that the original stipulation involved the machinist union. But when our petition was filed back in November of 2020, BMS admits there was no investigation. So from the get-go, there has been no review or finding or hearing or analysis or argument as to the supervisory status of these four employees. And in this case, BMS sua sponte issued its order, essentially correcting the order, disallowing LELS from acting as exclusive representative without any notice or opportunity to be heard. As you'll note in Relator's appendix, also at pages 10 through 12 regarding the response of BMS to our request for reconsideration, they indicated that, yeah, notice would be nice or it would be preferable, but we didn't need to give it in this case. I received a telephone call late in the day on July 11th from the interim commissioner, the deputy commissioner of BMS, indicating that there was going to be an order issued regarding this unit. I was given no specifics. I was given no other information until we received that order in the mail.
Senator, getting back to your answer to my question then, the BMS primary, I think, argument in this area at least is that it was solely a legal issue, therefore there was no need for further investigation or notice. But if I understand your answer to my earlier question, you disagree with that in terms of whether they're supervisors.
Well, I think it's fact-intensive. There's the requirement under 1798.03 regarding supervisory status, and there's the 10 factors. There's no record as to any evidence as to the supervisory status or whether truly these are supervisors within the definition of PELRA. But the fact that it's a legal issue, it's for this court to review de novo. There is no deference due to BMS, but the record is devoid of any facts because there really is no record as to the supervisory status of these four employees. In fact, the record that was transmitted to this court does not even include the stipulation that was entered into by the parties when the machinists were assigned the unit. There's nothing to rely on. And the nuts and bolts of our appeal are that when you remove the exclusive representative status of LELS in this case, the Constitution, statute, and quite frankly, fairness require notice and an opportunity to be heard. I know there's some objection about, well, there's no, what process is due and should there, what kind of hearing is due? Well, we respectfully submit there should be a hearing in front of a hearing officer or the individual who would decide whether or not to correct that exclusive representative order. But in even the BMS's rules require a hearing or an investigation. We know there was no investigation initially. We also, I quite frankly, as I stand here, don't know the extent of any investigation prior to that July 12th, 2022 corrective order.
Mr. Schneider, if let's say they didn't, I mean, you know, it's approximately 2 years later.
Sure.
You know, they didn't, it wasn't the stipulation that they, whoops, we, you know, here's the stipulation. But what if it was, you know, some factual analysis, you know, some BMS decision. I mean, it's hard to believe they wouldn't know their own decisions. But let's say what they found 2 years later was factual findings identifying your clients as supervisors under the 10 factors, okay?
Okay.
And then they did the same thing that they did. They just, you know, sua sponte issued an order. Would you have a right to have a hearing then?
We would have, I believe so, Your Honor.
Why? Because at that point, well, why?
Well, because, as outlined in our brief, LELS, as an appointed exclusive representative, has a protectable private interest under the due process requirements that we must follow in the state of Minnesota and the United States. Because we have a protectable interest, to yank that away, sua sponte, without notice or an opportunity to be heard, is contrary to law and constitution and statute. We can't forget that those four employees unanimously voted back in November of 2020 to have LELS act as their exclusive representative. That's worth something. Those employees also have a protectable and private interest in seeing to it that their chosen exclusive representative.
For that proposition, are you relying on that concurring opinion in the from the D.C. Circuit?
That is part of the reliance on that. That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I have no doubt if it's Ms. Wright arguing that the first thing she's going to say is, well, that's all fascinating, but that's not a Minnesota case, and by the way, it's a concurring opinion. So what about that?
Well, I still think...
What is your better argument for the argument you're making that you have, you know, that the union has a due process, well, that you have, that you have that statutory right to due process under these facts?
Under Minnesota statute 1798.01,
okay.
Under other sections of PELRA, the unit members have the right to organize, they have the right to choose their exclusive representative. Once an exclusive representative is assigned, that exclusive representative also steps into the shoes and has certain rights, bargaining the contract, making sure it abides by the terms of PELRA, making sure that the employer abides by the terms of that contract for terms and conditions of employment, grievances, et cetera. So there is an interest in LELS to maintain in its exclusive representative status. And quite frankly, if BMS, and I think it's important, at page 5 of BMS's reply brief, they indicate in early 2022, is when BMS became aware and discovered that LELS, that there was a problem with LELS's exclusive representation of the support services supervisors in the city of St. Cloud. They issued their order on July 12th of 2022. Part of the rationale was that they had to act quickly. Once they discovered that there was an issue with LELS's representation, their options were limited. They had to ensure, number one, that the unit members had representation, and number two, that their rights were protected. My question is, for those 4 months, or approximately 4 months, when BMS took no action, why could they not have sent out notice to LELS, to the machinists, to the 4 members of that unit, indicating, hey, we've come up with a concern here. Let's sit down, let's talk, let's go over it, let's argue, let's submit evidence, and we'll make a decision. That could have all been done in that 3 to 4 month period, and it wasn't done here. And that was violative of the rights of LELS and the unit members, and really the nuts and bolts of due process to its core are, if you have an affected interest, you should have notice that that interest is going to be affected or terminated, and you should have an opportunity to be heard. Now, is that a full-fledged evidentiary hearing in front of an administrative law judge? Not necessarily. I mean, even if we want to look back to BMS's rules, they have to conduct an investigation. That investigation should include participation by the parties. And I think BMS would acknowledge that, at least to some level. Their argument being, LELS got all process that was due, which was a phone call later in the day before that order was issued. Sure, we had the opportunity under their rules to request reconsideration, but similarly with district court rules, you know, you need leave to get that reconsideration, rarely granted for obvious reasons, and similarly in this case. But we've cited in our brief cases that talk about, notice at some point, and whether it should be pre-decision, pre-action notice, or if notice sometime afterwards is sufficient. And clearly that's not the case. There needs to be notice to allow you adequate opportunity to respond, argue, and submit any information you want the decision maker to decide.
Mr. Snyder,
yes.
Based on what you were just saying to us, your conclusion in your brief asks as a result that we issue an order vacated, that the order be vacated and reversed in its entirety, which seems a little foreign to what typically we would be doing. From what you're indicating, the process that's due wasn't due and there's a fact issue, wouldn't we simply remand for further proceedings and leave it up to BMS, as you just pointed out, to decide how to do that investigation and or hearing to get to the issue of this role of whether they're supervisors?
I certainly that's an option, Your Honor, for the court to reverse and remand. But our position is that vacation and reversal is appropriate because there are mechanisms within the BMS rules to get us in front of BMS. For instance, a petition regarding affiliation, a petition regarding clarification, either filed by LELS or the effective members of the unit, or in this case where the BMS acted on its own and brought the affiliation issue to the forefront. But certainly this court has it within its discretion to reverse and remand for an evidentiary hearing or further proceeding.
By whom? I mean, how would this work? Would it go to an ALJ and then you'd both present arguments as to, what the facts are and how those facts apply to the 10 factors? I mean, is that sort of what would happen?
I think what would happen procedurally at the BMS, and certainly counsel can speak more directly about that, but my experience has been BMS would assign a hearing officer out within its confines, and that hearing officer would make a decision. In this
case, we'll get the opportunity to call witnesses.
Call witnesses, yeah. Submit post-hearing briefs, written an oral argument. I think it would be appropriate that if that is the decision of this court, that the individual who made this original correction order should not be the hearing officer, that somebody else can put a fresh set of eyes on it and review the circumstances accordingly.
Do we have the authority to do that? Just to tell them which administrative officer should hear this? I mean, that's news to me.
Well, and I don't have any case law in front of me, Judge. I'm not going
to. But you'd like this to be the case?
I'm always willing to be to
in
be
a published
the
opinion, no
to
less.
Be, but I know we don't want to go up to the Supreme Court. So, but in all seriousness, Your Honor, and I see I'm getting short on time here. I know there have been cases when cases have been remanded to district court, and maybe it goes to a different judge. But that, for what it's worth, but I certainly would defer to this court on that. We've cited in our brief support from other jurisdictions. The Supreme Court in the Rosemont election case indicated that it's appropriate for Minnesota courts to look at National Labor Relations Act and NLRB decisions for guidance. Katz, the New York case, talks about the notice that we've talked about and the fact that in that case, notice was given after the hearing officer already reached his conclusions. That's essentially what we have in this case. In fact, we don't even have that type of notice. The arbitrary and capriciousness, substantial evidence standards are fully briefed in our brief, Your Honor, in reply briefs. So as a result of the foregoing, LELS would respectfully request that the order, which is the subject of this appeal, be vacated and the matter reversed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Schneider. We'll now hear from counsel for the respondent, please.
May it please the court, my name is Corrine Wright, and I represent the Bureau of Mediation Services. By asking this court to vacate the Bureau's 2022 correction order, LELS is essentially asking to be put back in the same situation where it's prohibited by PELRA from acting as the exclusive representative of the supervisory employees of the City of St. Cloud. And again, the employees would be left without effective representation. That can't be the answer, that it all goes back to the same place.
Why not? I mean, yep. aren't what they are really asking for is an opportunity to have a hearing where evidence presented to determine or not whether these people are supervisors, and if they're not, they do get to they could represent them.
I have two answers to what ended up being two questions, if that's okay.
Go right ahead, Ms. Wright.
First, if they're asking for remand for a hearing, that's different than saying they want to have the order vacated and reversed. So that's...
Let's assume that's the only thing we'd consider.
Very good, Your Honor. Then certainly, although I'm going to answer the second part of your question now and you'll sort of see here. If there's a hearing on the supervisory status, which we have put in our briefs that certainly if this court was not willing to affirm the corrective order, that our preference would be a remand and not a strict reversal. And certainly the Bureau would do that evidentiary hearing with the employer, with the union, and they would make it happen. If those employees end up being supervisory, LELS is prohibited by PELRA from representing them. However, if they're not supervisory, it's not as easy as that they just go to LELS because the City of St. Cloud has a wall-to-wall non-supervisory bargaining unit. Many cities and counties have these, and the City of St. Cloud does as well. So if these folks are not supervisory, then they leave the machinists and they go to another union. I believe it's AFSCME. That's who's going to represent them, not LELS. So to the extent that we have that evidentiary...
Well, I mean, unless, and I'm sure you know this more than I do, I mean, unless these four employees want to have another vote to say, well, we don't want AFSCME... Well, could they have another vote and say, well, we want LES, not AFSCME? Or is that just because of the union contracts, it's AFSCME or nothing?
Well, no... This would be an issue with, it depends on how many people are in the wall-to-wall, because you need 30%. So my sense is four people are not 30%.
We could have two hearings.
Of the wall-to-wall. It's just a different process, but...
Fair enough.
Yeah, but understanding that these four folks couldn't kind of jettison off and be the, you know, and sort of pick LELS again. So it's a process, certainly. And it would, in order for that to happen, the union, the wall-to-wall union, so I believe, again, it's AFSCME, and then the city would have to agree. So it's not even like LELS would have an opportunity to kind of pull them out. So just understand that if they're not considered supervisory at this hearing below that we're presumably ever going to have, that doesn't really change things for LELS. They still don't get these four employees. Not from that. Not from a non-supervisory determination.
Well, you know, I mean, that's their problem.
Agreed.
You know, I have some sympathy with the BMS's decision to correct mistakes. You know, I always tried to do that when we were on the district court. In all fairness, I think before I corrected a mistake, I always rolled everyone in so we could have even more due process. But, I mean, the stipulation is not enough, right? I mean, we don't know. I mean, it could be wrong, but in any event, you've got to do a factual analysis with the 10 factors to determine whether or not they're supervisory. And I'm not sure we can just rely, well, there's a stipulation, so therefore, as a matter of law, you win. Now, why am I wrong, Ms. Wright?
Because that's not how units are determined. So when there was a stipulation from the employer back in, I believe it was 2007, the employer and the union, the stipulation means that both the employer and the union say, we believe this is a supervisory unit. That doesn't mean that BMS rubber stamps it and says, okay. All it means is that, okay, the parties are not contentious. We don't have to have a hearing on supervisory status. But BMS still does an investigation, and they go down through the factors. Once they've done that for a unit and it's been determined, they don't go back and do that over and over and over. So when the machine
is that analysis in the record? I didn't see that.
That's the statutory scheme. Once a unit is determined, there are certain...
I mean, how do we know you did that? I mean, to be blunt.
It's not in the record because it's years before. But here's the thing, is that there's not a sunset. There's not a sunset on a unit determination. So in other words, once a unit is determined supervisory, it stays that way until somebody petitions to change it. And it lives as the supervisory unit. So when the machinist passed it along to LELS, they passed along a supervisory unit. Once LELS received the unit, if they looked at the statute and said, oh, shoot, we're in a pickle, they could have petitioned for unit clarification, and then we would have had the hearing and gone through the factors.
But Ms. Wright, since there was a petition and it was granted, there'd be no reason to do that, but now that it's decertified absent a petition, so there was no opportunity, was there, for them to disagree with the definition of bargaining or supervisory employees at that point?
Well, respectfully.
In other words, if as Judge Conley referenced, if you'd have sent out notice that we see this prospective error, so they would have, at that point, probably requested a hearing so we could determine whether they were supervisory. But because it was decertified, there was no opportunity to make a request for clarification of their status.
Well, a couple things there. One is that no party petitioned. So even no party attempted to petition, right? So they got the order from the Bureau, and nobody said, hold on, can we please file a petition? Can we petition for unit clarification? Just understand that didn't happen. But what I was referencing was back in 2020, when LELS petitioned for this unit of supervisory employees, somebody might have, and they didn't, somebody might have looked at the statute and said, oops, right? This is problematic in the city of St. Cloud. At that time, they could have filed a petition with BMS and said, hey, we see here that we're in trouble under this statute, under this provision, can we please get a unit clarification to make sure these folks are supervisors? Because understand, that unit stays supervisory until somebody kind of pokes the bear and says, we'd like to change, you know, we'd like to go a different way here. Can you check this unit? I mean, the unit stays supervisory. That is why when BMS issued the order, it didn't say, let's have a hearing on supervisory status. And to this day, they think that that's actually not proper, but they're willing to do it on remand because what they did was inelegant, it was imperfect. They're well aware of that. They've never had a situation like this before. And
well, we all try to correct our mistakes as best.
And the mistake is ongoing. I mean, and I think that's really important when it goes to jurisdiction and authority, is that it wasn't just that they made a mistake in the past and they wanted to fix it. They made a mistake that every single day these employees didn't have representation, not effective representation. LELS was prohibited from representing them under the statute. So it was an ongoing problem.
But Ms. you say effective. Aren't we separating whether they were actually represented because everybody presumed LELS was their representative and they were acting as such? So unless they want to decertify because they're ineffective, what you're getting at is just as a matter of law, because of the designation supervisory, it's not a proper representation, but...
Well, certainly, but also I could see circumstances where I don't think there were even any grievances that needed to be dealt with during this time period. But if I'm the city of St. Cloud, I'm probably going to be the lawyer that looks at the statute and says, I'm sorry, LELS, you can't come to the table. Like, right? Because you look at the... I mean, there's certainly that... You have to look and see what all the possibilities are out there. And so if I'm an employee, I would be really unhappy to know that when I go sit down across the table from an employer to deal with a grievance, that I'm suddenly told, well, you don't actually have these representatives. They're banned by, they're barred by the statute. I mean, that's really unfair for the employee.
Would it be safe to recharacterize a bit what you said, that
yeah.
Mistakes abound by everybody, including your client, obviously, because
sure.
So now that's the windshield. I used to always tell my children, let's look out the windshield instead of the rearview mirror. In that regard, wasn't the opportunity for the investigation and or hearing at the reconsideration stage, because you did as a matter of law because of the title and fine, and, but then they asked for reconsideration, and wouldn't that have been a good opportunity? Well, yeah, we do have these factors. We don't have anything in the record. Let's open it up at that stage. Then it wouldn't have had to come here at this point, but now it'll go back to do exactly that.
Well, that would be my answer, Your Honor. In hindsight, you know, to avoid the trip up here to visit Your Honors, I think probably at the end of the day, they should have just said, you know, let's make everyone happy and have this hearing, frankly. And I think the Bureau understands that. But it didn't see that as an option, and I think folks there were a little bit stuck on the idea that supervisory status is not an issue here. It's not an issue to be opened up. But certainly in retrospect.
Perhaps it wasn't as clear in the request for reconsideration as it is today, the request to actually, as an alternative at least, request to have a hearing on the issue.
I think that's right.
Okay.
I think that's right.
Feel free to quit while you're ahead. I mean, it's up to you.
Well, I will say that certainly we briefed some of the other issues in our briefs, including whether or not there was a constitutional interest, whether enough process was due. I do get the sense that we all feel like probably a remand on the supervisory issue is maybe where things are headed. And so to that extent, I will just say to the court that, again, we'd prefer an affirmance on the correction order. I understand that certainly remand is for a... evidentiary hearing is, you know, the Bureau is willing to do that and accepts any kind of guidance or directions from this court on that. And, you know, the Bureau really just wanted to make sure that there wasn't just a vacation of the order and that we were all going to be back in the same pickle again, and then maybe we'd be back up here on the same issue again. So that is the Bureau's position on that. And unless there are any more questions, I will head out early here.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Wright.
Thank you.
Mr. Schneider, you'll have the last word, sir.
Thank you. What we do know by admission from BMS is that they failed to initially conduct an investigation on the petition for a challenge of exclusive representative status submitted by LELS on September 17th, 2020. They failed in their obligations back in September of 2020. They sought to correct it, and I would agree with Your Honor that courts and tribunals should try to correct orders. But as the Katz decision that we referenced in our brief indicates, unless it's an obvious self-correcting type term included in that order, the parties are entitled to true notice and an opportunity to be heard. And that's the broad issue that we are arguing and why we're before this court. And we would respectfully request that the court reverse the BMS, and we would not object to a remand for further proceedings consistent with the court's decision. Unless there are questions, I'll conclude my remarks as well.
Thank you very much, Mr. Schneider.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Wright. The matter was well briefed and well argued, and we will issue our decision within 90 days.